Hi everyone, welcome to part two of my conversation with Oo Nwonye. If you're just joining us and you're wondering why part two, you better go to the previous episode because there's so much that Oo shared. On today's episode, we're going to be talking about VC, innovation and the global tech ecosystem. We are going to discuss the evolution of startup funding, the ethical consideration for founders in managing investor relationships. We're going to look at the future and, even predict where the ecosystem in Africa is going. The next voice you're going to be hearing is Oo. Let's get right in. Welcome to The Grinders Table, the podcast where we sit with C-suite executives and founders who are taking their industry by storm to figure out how you can build an exceptional career and business. Together, we'll try to uncover how they are both defined odds and what you can learn from their experience. Talking about funding winters, we've seen that the distribution of investment in early stage founders has shifted towards later stage founders. And there's something you said the last time we spoke, that VC should not even be playing in the pre-seed stage. I think I need you to expand on that.
So my position, which I hope to write, because I've not been able to write forever, is simple. There is capital, like when we look at venture capital, there is a role and how the manufacturing line is, that stage. So, which is why in football, for example, you don't see, it would be foolish for the big Premier League clubs to at scale be giving contracts to 16-year-old footballers. No one knows. There's a pipeline, right? What happens is you filter, there are always outliers, 16-year-olds like Bellingham and all those people, right? There are always outliers like Mbappe, there are outliers. But in general, the big money doesn't distract people that are still searching. So if you go and give money to a founder that is not yet sure of what it is they are doing, you can make something that should not exist for long. Just be there. If you just always exist, And two things have happened. One is that you have given life to something that should die. And number two, you have tied up someone smart. So if you're giving a founder, there are many reasons. One is that VC capital is supposed to accelerate. So you have explored. So there are many reasons why, again, I'll go through everyone. So it has been explored. It has hit the product market fit. It needs acceleration. Now, the kind of support early stage founders need is hands-on. VCs are not really equipped. Usually, early stage founder, investors, people that have technical domain, right? So somebody is trying to do something in healthcare. A doctor should be like the angel investor. People in the medical field, they would help them get their first customers, to free whatever it is. A VC doesn't have all that domain expertise. So ideally, there are 10 people that investors should work with. Only 3 will survive. Since we don't know which 3, we should let the strongest survive. Out of those 3, they're not putting capital or accelerate it. But if you put money on all those 10, the investors can come in, the angel investors can play because it's beyond their scope. Then you now have 10 people and they just keep trying to struggle and survive. And if a business should die so that the person can focus on something, or the person can pivot, it gives extra leg to things that should not have leg. And it ties down great founders in bad situations. So Shola, for example, was doing it wasn't a bad idea, Procure, it was an intranet, but let's say it was not going to be as successful as Vistack. And he was looking for investors or he didn't get. So if he had got investments, he would not have done Vistack he would not have done it because he had money to survive for the next 3 years and just be focused on nothing.
I hear you. But isn't this, again, I remember I'm on this table too, isn't this a function of the expertise and the experience of the VCs, the GPs, or whatever Ps we want to call them.
So I'll give you an example. So one of the things that being old timer, my money never completes. One of the advantages of being an old timer is we've seen patterns, we've seen things before. So in 2011, Euro Millionaire and Ron Conway of SV Angel, they gave every YC company, they created a fund and gave every YC company uncapped or convertible 150K. And they were giving for every class uncapped. So what now happened was they stopped it after like four classes because they realized that typically you do a batch of 50 companies. In the next 6 months, quickly, the good 15 would show themselves. Then you double down your support on them, right? Then these other people would join new YC companies as employees. These other people would start new companies. But because he gave everybody 150K, after 1 year or 2 years, you see companies that everybody's still there alive, but half of them were hollow. But they can still be tweeting and redoing logo and redoing website and all those other things. You get what I'm saying? And it allowed bad companies live longer than they should. It allowed bad ideas exist for longer. So that happened before, where you just spray too much. And we've seen the consequence, you know? If people have made certain mistakes, yeah, you should make new mistakes. That's what I normally say, make new mistakes. So when you give money, if today I come, but if you make mistake, give me 200K, say, I want to do, I don't know, AI for grass cutter or something ridiculous, right? Right? Grass cutter that would take notes on me, something that doesn't really make sense. Give me 500K. Now, let's assume I'm a smart person. I'm going to sit on that thing for the next 5-6 years. I can sit on that thing for the next 5-6 years. Or let's assume gloves for two left-legged people to do hand signs. I'm just trying to think of something that's just very ridiculous. But what's happening is that I can exist for the next 5 years and take away your attention because I'm still existing. So I'm part of your portfolio. So I take your mind share. And let's assume that I'm supposed to use machine learning to be able to, I have another idea that should be able to use machine learning and image recognition to be able to, what do you call it, to be able to study radiology scans or brain scans, right? That's my second idea. But interested in doing artificial grass cutter, you've locked me down on that, with that. However, if I had this material grass cutter idea and I was giving $5,000 to pursue it, I would quickly scale on it and realize there's nothing there, right? And I do not have extra fuel to go back down a bad road, basically. And the capital, like I said, it comes from someone that believes in me, that has domain expertise, that can work hands-on with me, versus someone that really has no domain experience. Forget, I love my VCs or whatever it is, but you know, all of you are a bit overrated. Let's be honest.
I smile, but
you're not domain experts. You can help finance. The founders know the business more than you.
Yeah.
Yes.
I absolutely believe that.
When Horowitz and everything.
Yeah.
Of course, what do you know about Ethereum? You don't. You just understand it to a macro level, but you just wait and understand the people that actually build it. You can't look at your portfolio. 80 companies. You say you have domain expertise in logistics, domain expertise. No, you don't. You understand? So for it to exist, the right people have to be at the beginning so they can help scrutinize and support. And anybody that shows they have a level of escape policy, you add fuel to that VC, that other things you expert in, which is to support something that on the macro level, right? You can help with recruitment, you can help with financing, you can help with other things. But what do you know about AI? Be honest.
I was going to add to what you were saying, that maybe, actually not maybe, the role of a VC, apart from, you know, providing the funding, is those other ad hoc supports, which means that I believe that VCs, especially in Africa, should be doing way more than just writing the check and then, you know, pushing you to go double your revenues. What are the ad hoc supports you give? I mean, who in your network is a sector expertise that can help the founder? How are you, you know, helping these founders get visibility, or how
you? But the founders will not come to you if you're giving a boy whose father has never, or a girl whose father has never seen $10,000, right? He just knows how to code and has a smart idea. If you give me $1 million today, like this, I go confused. I have experience, but how do you give somebody that doesn't even have a car, has never lived alone, doesn't know how to keep a budget, never managed anything more than a student project? It's fair. But you just give them $1 million and no guardians. The travel business class, they live the good life, right? Then what do you expect them to do? They have people's parents saying, yes, sir, because they have capital and they have deployed it. Now, it's an outlier that succeeds that way. We're going to see the bodies later on. There will be data. You know, unfortunately, we have the list of companies that have been launched since, say, invested in since 2019.
Mm-hmm.
So for the past 5 years, we'll now start seeing the patterns. The patterns will soon start showing.
We're beginning to see those that had the big announcements, you know, struggle.
We're seeing the patterns, because I don't really blame them. When Tyson won his world championship or whatever it is, heavyweight champion of the world, he said, What did you expect? And there's a commander that said, what do you expect? Somebody, a footballer, because you play football, you like it, all of a sudden you have 40 million. What do you expect? You know, so there's a responsibility that we think venture capitalists have. If today, if you win a lottery, they don't give you the money at the, you know, you have to get people that will guide you, and you, over time, mm-hmm. you get it. And that's how venture capital was formed. People forget the original YC deal, which I'm telling people we need to go back to. The original YC deal was 10K per company and 5K per founder. So if you were two founders, you get 20K, three founders, 25K. And it was just money to survive, because we are all technical. So you didn't need to hire I want to be alive for the next 5 years and 5 months to just build something. Oh, there's something here. I like where this thing is going. You know what? Let me give you money for the next 18 months, which is why runway used to be in the context of months. You just needed time to build. So if your father was rich, you didn't need money to build a prototype. Today, now you just started a deck with an idea, say, I want 5 million. What are you saying? So even if it's a bad idea, you can't even test it, because you're now busy renting offices and hiring head of HR, you know? So I think over time, I would like to have this conversation in a deeper way, because I know I've carried your...
No, but I love the conversation. But talking about, you know, founders that raised very big, now we're beginning to see cases where VCs are now taking founders to court. They're suing to, you know, because of maybe wrong management account, fraud, and all those things. On the other side, we've seen founders that have struggled but raised big, but don't know what to do because they know that the business is eventually going to die. Should they be returning the money to the investors?
So the challenge we have with venture capital in Africa is that we don't have enough data points to know what works. We can signal, we can try to create equivalents. But you see, while we're still struggling in our first cycle, America has started the second boom cycle. You know, it just went down for 2 years. There's a body of work. So one thing I have to call on the VCs of today is that they should start looking at first principles. So for example, they give you SAFE. Yes, why is he give you SAFE? Why is he give SAFE? Because the SAFE is a genius invention for someone that has 300 of his companies trying to raise money from 1,000 investors in a space of 3 weeks, right? SAFE doesn't make sense for one founder trying to raise from one investor, for example, right? So the YC saw a scenario and invented for that scenario plus or minus. We took it, we adapted it. Now we have seen it's okay to start from somewhere. So it's okay to have taken it without talking about the context of 300 portfolio companies looking for investments from 1,000 in a short period of time. And we started using it. Then it stopped working the way we wanted it to work. People started abusing it. People started spinning out their MVP. People just started using the safe and raising more money than the valuation. They use safe, they do a piggy bank. Say, I better give me 5K there, 1K billion valuation, 2K, 7 billion valuation. Like, you're messing everything up, right? Oh, wow, that stopped working. Okay, I'm a fund. But in my situation, not investing in 40 startups in 1 week. So this safe is not for me. Or our environment, we're not doing accelerator programs, we're not doing demo days. So why don't we adapt the safe? The safe allow people to raise early, quickly, but so we'll keep that. But somebody that's investing in 15 companies doesn't want to be on the board. But I invest in only two, I want to be on the board, right? You adopt that. Our people do not know, do not have the experience. So what I'm trying to explain is we are not operating like people that are still in the process of learning what works. We're executing like we already know what works. So I don't know what founders, investors should do, but I think investors shouldn't copy and stay the course from where they copied. You understand? Founders should be guided by morality. So I heard like the people ladies, the return capital, I don't know, you know? So people that are honorable will do honorable things with or without an agreement. You understand what I'm saying? So the scenarios where founders are like, after raising the money, I know if you do it. So for example, Olumide's money. Again, I'm not holding myself as a light, but I could easily have just least found a way out, then collect 25K. But no, I might get it tomorrow. You know, when we go in bed day, we shut down. Why? And we've done other things since then. So I would not do anything that would spoil my relationship. I'd raise money. And when I raised money, the business died, and somehow I still feel like all those people. So when my co-founder of them, Bimbi, started a new company, he gave equity to those people that were part of our previous startup. No connection, 5 years in between. But we just felt that these people that backed us, what I really want in this life is to get a win and give them their money back. So I don't think it's an investment. I think they borrowed me money. That's how I look at it. No, they didn't borrow money, right? It was safe. But I still believe I owe them something. So hopefully one day I could just, no matter what happened, I would say, you know what? Take the money back. It's 10 years ago. I'll take it back. I think that's my dream. I think I'll do something like that. Because so if you have money, you know that the business is not going anywhere. You're a criminal for paying yourself out of ordinary. Like, again, we're going to see the end result of all that, you know, because time is short, time is long. So we're going to see, I've seen one or two founders that raised millions. They're now getting jobs somewhere. So everybody will still come down. Then your reputation will now determine where you end up in life. But we don't have enough data yet to say this is what will happen or this is the pattern.
In the end, the summary of what you're saying is don't forget the relationships, because those are very important. Yeah.
I play long game, man. I play long game. All the people that people are like, oh, I remember you emailed me 5-10 years ago. I use myself as an example, because when people think, how do you know all these people? There's one thing that Odun told me, right? Piggy Vest, and she said, Odun has always supported anything I do. And she was like, when I was starting out, you told me this thing very positively and everything. I'm like, I don't remember. Right? So who would have thought a covenant student that was writing, that was a journalist that was just there, one not technical per se, so just there, would now be Odun of Piggy Vest, and I said, that's a machine, right? So nobody knows where it will end. So it's your reputation that matters, right? With these people, and it's a small circle. So yes, okay, you paid your friend $5,000, yourself $5,000, don't worry. See, after 2-3 years, it will finish, don't worry. Then we'll see. Go and look at people that they're, you go to Ajawa Estate. My biggest fear is all those I used to have been together at that time. We're going to come back. Some of those people could never bounce back. Some of them could bounce back. Why? They had a reputation. I said, you know what? I need to start from scratch. I need to raise 2 million. Of course, I'm in. You know? So life will, it will all come around. So as a founder, you say, do well.
All right. I know that we've spent almost an hour talking right now, but I mean, I still have some questions that I needed to answer.
Feel free. I did.
You've mentioned one contrarian idea that you and we've talked about it, about VCs, you know, doing pre-seed investment.
Contrarian. It's not normal.
It's contrarian in the context of Africa, right? Because people will say we don't have enough people investing in pre-seed stage. Not enough people are liquid enough to be angel investors.
So let me be fair to the VC. It's not that VC money is terrible. The problem is that they optimize for ownership these days, so there is no collaborativeness required that is required at early stage. So I asked them what has worked today, right? Paystack, we've gone look at cap table now. You go run now. Morocco, right?
Yeah.
You understand? Now
it was like a community thing.
Yeah. So imagine if we had, when Paystack had challenges, when Flutterwave existed, Flutterwave had challenges and Paystack existed. Imagine if there were 8 Paystacks or 8 Flutterwave. None of them would have survived today. Intersource would have wiped all of them out. Or the banks, none of them would have hit traction because everybody was backing their own. Sure, you have seen all the new banks. How many did, right? Where all of them, everybody had new bank. And they had new bank. So nobody hits. So everybody lost. So it's greed. So everybody's like, this space that if only I was the owner of 10%. If only I was owner of course, if you were owner of 10%, it would have succeeded. It succeeded because so many people had skin in the game. You understand? So there's a cost that people are not looking at. Go and look at the web of investments in LinkedIn. Roy Hoffman put money in LinkedIn, put money in Facebook, money in Twitter. Like, Jeff Bezos put money in Google, put money
the whole PayPal mafia.
They're investing themselves, you know, but everybody wants to go eat alone. So if you look at when they all were on Substack or Clubhouse, didn't work out. But if you can look at almost all these companies, you see all of them will not be, all of them will not be blogging on Twitter. All of them, like, what's happening? It's a lie. All of them put money in it. All of them put money in it. They backed it. If they back 7 Twitters, there will be no Twitter today.
True.
You know?
Absolutely.
So there's a cost to being greedy. It's not about VC money. What I'm just trying to say is that because you have raised a fund of 10 million, you're now obliged, sort of, I cannot monitor more than up to 100 companies. I cannot be putting less than 100 to 200K. So you've put yourself in that situation. You know, so it's not one's fault that you must spend a lot of money. And you bring it back. That's
okay. Okay. So now that we've cleared that up, what is your one contrarian opinion about the African entrepreneurship ecosystem?
I don't want to say it's contrarian, but what would I say? So when it's not more contrarian, but it was contrarian then when I thought we could build for the world. We're badass. Nigerians and Africans are badass. Nigerians especially. We rank globally. But when it was contrarian, was when everybody thought the only thing we could do was to send SMS to the farmer and tell them the latest price of produce in the markets. We can do deep tech. Right? We can do deep tech. And what do you call it? I just realized, we can do deep tech. So that was contrarian there, right? I still think we can build for the world. I think there has to be a change. And it's until we get one or two successes of someone just building simple SaaS, being dominant in Ireland and UK and Canada, something in the basic market. We could go global from Nigeria. You know, so I don't know. It's no longer contrarian, but electric cars were contrarian. They're no longer. So it doesn't mean I will now tap out and say, I know I didn't have a contrarian thoughts. But now that's the only thing I can think of.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let's talk about predictions. The beauty about conversations like this is everybody says things based on, again, their experience and
context,
context, right? where do you see the Nigerian ecosystem, maybe Africa at large, going? What technologies do you think would be the next big? What's the next big thing? Where do you think the best founders are? You know, just anything.
I think there'll be a little bit of leapfrogging where we stop having Nigerian tech ecosystem. So you see us. So I admire. Sometimes they annoy me every now and then, but what we call the big three: Wizkid, Davido, and Burna.
Mm-hmm.
But that the people that say we're global now, right? I liked when one of these guys, Skank, is this Shank or whatever it is? He now talked about these streamers as this guy that nobody knew, Kai or something, and nobody knew everybody now. He first,
we didn't know him on the at least in Nigeria, in the continent. But
that's how it is. People know me everywhere. Everybody, people know people everywhere. What I'm saying is that he was not mainstream in this part of the world.
True.
But what has happened is that what's more important is with the Shank boy would become mainstream. Because when you're mainstream in America, you're probably mainstream globally. So we're now playing global. We're now prime time. So my prediction, and which is the only hope for our survival as an ecosystem, because an ecosystem where your currency devalues 4x in 1 year means you're not even running on the same spot, you're running backwards. Remember that, what they call it? That's a relay race. They said Buhari when they gave it to him.
Yeah, and it was going back.
So, you do $200 million, you do $1 million. Next year you do $100 million, you do $1 million. This year you do $800 million, you do $500,000. It's mental, right?
Crazy.
So what's going to happen? My prediction is that we will realize that we have to be global. So we'll start building products from Nigeria. We're going to start having our big three. And when I mean big three, we're not going to pick that photo wave, right? We're talking of Intercom. You get what I'm saying? We're talking of Calendly.
I see.
It was built from Nigeria. It was built by Nigerian, but it was built in America. But I'm talking of a Calendly built from Nigeria. We have Adela, even though they just farm out, but again, they're not mainstream. But we're going to start having our mainstream people the way we have Davido, Burna, Wizkid, that you go to a random British pub and you're going to hear Ashake, like our music has gone mainstream, right? We're going to have our founders going mainstream, especially the class of global talent people that are now straddling multi countries. You know, that is my prediction. It's needed too, but that's my prediction. So when I've seen AI and stuff like this, like I talked about an idea of where you're able to use imaging to be able to say, oh, this person has this disease or whatever it is.
Uh-huh.
That kind of product will be used in India or used in France or used anywhere, you know? So we're going to be at the fore of innovation and we'll be global from Nigeria.
Yeah, I have to touch on global talent because this is an ongoing discourse we've had, we've seen VCs speak about, especially around migration, basically, right? Can people build for the continent while living outside the continent? And I've been in situations where sometimes I do have to defend founders because you're in Lagos, you feel the vibe, you know, energy, whatever. Sometimes you need a place that is calm where you can think strategically. So you find that founders have to juggle the two. But do you think we can actually build global companies that way?
The founder of Bolt and the founder of Uber have never stepped foot in Nigeria. That should tell you everything. So the idea, which is why I said in those days, they were giving different regulation for a Nigerian founder, which is what they call bias. Because I'm a Nigerian founder, you're telling me I should build for my market. I should go to Kogi instead of expanding. No, just build for your market first. You don't understand. But nobody tells the person that built Skype to build for Estonia. You know what I'm saying?
True.
So nobody has told the people that built software in America or WhatsApp. WhatsApp is now that WhatsApp is getting to America. You understand? Those people never visited Nigeria. Telegram is the guy, you get what I'm saying? So the idea that we have to be in a particular market or there's something unique, We're not saying it doesn't give you insight. Those people went to emerging markets. Something that they talked about was in the Argentina dialing code was the most complicated one.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So that's why WhatsApp was so genius in the sense that they predicted all the local numbers in your book would be prefaced by your own number, the similar number. Those are the two nuances that they got. So I think they went to Argentina, saw it, and now did it for the whole world. We're not saying that you build for the world from your basement, but the idea that you cannot build it. Go and look at the top 10 products in Nigeria. It's TikTok. It's TikTok. The TikTok founders didn't know where Nigeria is on the map.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm saying. Or Instagram or whatever, what have you. Okay, Zuckerberg has come, but that's not why he learned how to dominate the continent with his product. So the idea that this is, we are going to play by different rules, no. So which is what I'm saying, right? One of the things I like, and when people talk, again, maybe not this conversation, but I'm not a fan of diversity as it is projected, the woke political nature of all this conversation. I try to tell them about our music, right? We don't need a quota system for our music to shine. We needed it some time back. There was an end of a tenure. We don't need BET, right? We want Spotify. You know what I'm saying? We don't need BET. I'm not saying that BET was bad. We're not saying there was a time we didn't need BET. But the time is no longer, like, so today, you can't say a musician is not played because of the color of his skin. These boys have shown, go and look at Pastaka Flutterwave, right? Again, I'm so impressed with them, right? Let's leave a little nuance here and there. They didn't need a quota system. They just needed a chance to perform. So don't restrict yourself. Don't restrict anybody. We are going to go global, and you would see it. With this AI, the AI race coming out, we do not have resources to have own models from scratch, but the application of models, you start seeing us applying models at par. Do you understand? And there's no longer lag from innovation to us for it to penetrate in. We have fiber from day one, which is why Africa has dominated Clubhouse from day one. We're there.
Yeah.
That time eBay took 15 years for us to realize. Every other thing took many years. That's why with crypto, we had like a 5-7 year lag. With AI, I think we'll be there from day one. I will start showing our capabilities.
Absolutely. I actually agree with you. With AI, with the internet generally, we begin to see more people leapfrog. You know, we won't go through those painful. Yeah. We'll go through those painful stages. Anyway, this has been an amazing conversation. I always end all the conversations with one simple question, maybe one and then an additional one, but one simple question. It's a framework, right? Power, money, fame, and pleasure. Which one is most important to you and which is least important to you?
Power, money,
fame, and pleasure.
Fame, pleasure.
Which is most important to you and which is the least important to you and why?
Okay. This important will be fame, right?
Mm-hmm.
Most about my life pleasure. This guy, what's his name? Tony Prest. Said, my cousin, Chugai, said he saw him on the bike one day. Said, Tony, what are you doing? Said, I'm doing what I do best, mixing business with pleasure. So, pleasure too sweet. So, the thing is, it depends on, in my life, what I would rather have, I'll call it influence. Now, why I what I'm looking for is influence to get my ideology to be dissipated in society. So the question is, what will give me better chance and influence? Is it power or money? If I'm to choose, no, pleasure comes with power or money, so I will not even choose pleasure. But fame is least relevant to me. Like I'm happy not to be famous, but I want pleasure, but I don't care about fame. I don't mind fame, but it's not necessary. I would say power. No man has all the power.
Okay. Yeah, thank you so much for spending time. And then my final question again is just basically one word. If you're going to leave one word for any of the listeners, what would that be?
Start.
Okay. Start. So everybody, if you're listening, that idea, that plan you've been planning for 2,000 years, go and start. Just get it done. Just get it kicking. Oh, it's been a pleasure having this conversation.
Thank you, my man.
That's all on today's episode of The Grinders Table, and thank you for listening. If you enjoyed this episode and you'd like to support the podcast, please share it with others, post about it on social media, or leave a rating and review. To catch all the latest from me, you can follow me on Instagram and Twitter at Monsieur OM. That's at Monsieur for Mr. in French, OM. Thanks again, and I'll see you next time.